question that often comes up is, where is the best place to practice? And the best answer is, where you are right now. Because if you put things off to when you can go to Thailand, or when you can go to a monastery, or when you can get out of the monastery, you're avoiding the real issue, which is, what's the mind doing right now to create suffering? What can you do to stop it? Because that tendency to look someplace else, say, well, I can't really practice right here because of this or that, or the people around here are not conducive, the monasteries, what, too disorganized? That's just the mind pointing away from itself. It's your defilements. Pointing over here, over there, anywhere but where the real issue is right now. They're like politicians. When a politician is caught doing something bad, they point over to, well, somebody else is even worse. And you hear the mind saying, things around here are not perfect, which is true. But then, of course, if you got to a perfect place, you'd be so attached to it. That you wouldn't want to leave. And then you never really get to test your practice. Can it stand up to difficult situations? As the Buddha said, one of the important things you want to look for in yourself and the people around you that you want to depend on is, how do they deal with adversity? Now, it is true you want a place where you're not compelled to do immoral things all the time, which is why right livelihood is such an important part of the path. If you're involved in a livelihood that requires that you develop greed, aversion, and delusion in yourself, or that you're provoking greed and aversion and delusion in other people, you do your best to get out. And there are those occupations. I saw a cartoon a while back. It showed a hobo holding a sign saying, "We'll work for food." And right next to him was a person, a guy dressed up in a very nice suit, holding a sign saying, "We'll work for jerks." The people were happy to cheat, happy to take advantage of other people. And there's a lot of that out there in the world. So if you find yourself stuck in a situation like that, you really do want to get out. But otherwise, even then, before you can get out of that situation, you do want to work with your mind. To discover what areas you can develop virtue, concentration, and discernment, to minimize the harm you're doing to yourself and other people. But otherwise, when you find the mind gazing far off, wanting to go practice over the ocean, then maybe someday it will be good for you to go over the ocean, but in the meantime, you're here right here, right now. You've got to practice right here, right now. Because that's where the defilements are happening. That's where your greed, aversion, and delusion are stirring up trouble. And often in really quiet places like this, we're observing the precepts, so we have certain boundaries on our behavior. And things are really quiet. It seems like the defilements are roaring in our ears. They seem even worse than they would be if you went back home. But it's simply the case that they're clear here. And it's where they're clear is when you can actually deal with them. If you're out in a situation where you're allowed free rein to do what you like, they go into the background. They're always there, it's just they don't show themselves quite as clearly. But again, that case of the Buddha said that someone is well-behaved when there's plenty of food, clothing, shelter, medicine. You don't really know if you can trust that person. Because their defilements are being fed. It's like dogs. You feed them well and they just kind of lie around, do nothing. But they still have their dog habits, their dog attitudes, which when they're hungry can get really provoked. It's not like they've become well-behaved citizens and abandoned their dog aversion and greed and delusion. It's still there. It's just it's sleeping. And the Buddha's attitude is you're not going to let sleeping dogs lie. If you want to deal with your greed, you have to deal with, put yourself in a situation where you're not feeding it. See what happens as it gets dissatisfied. Same with your lust, same with your aversion, all your unskillful states of mind. That old principle that John Lee said, it's when you practice is when you get to know your defilements. That's what practice is all about. But you don't just leave them there. The fact that you can see them means that then you can start dealing with them. And so anywhere where you can see your defilements is a good place to practice. In fact, it's the only place where you can practice. When greed comes up, how are you going to deal with it? When lust comes up, how are you going to deal with it? Anger, fear, jealousy. This is the real meat of the practice. Our tools in getting the mind concentrated are not to make these things just simply go away by making the mind quiet. We make the mind quiet so you can see these things more clearly. And you want to use that foundation of concentration or whatever shred of it you may have when the defilements are roaring in your ears, to give yourself a place to stand so you can fend these things off. In the very least, you don't have to give in to them. Then you begin to get to know them. Instead of identifying with them, saying, this is me, this is my attitude, it's simply that's something that's there in the mind. And the question is it your thought or is it somebody else's thought? Although sometimes it is helpful to think about, where did I get this particular pattern of thinking? Who did I pick that up from? What's the tone of voice? Is that something I want to identify with? The real issue is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to give in? Can, at the very least, can you watch it? Can you, in the Buddhist terms, exert a fabrication against it? In other words, how does your breathing affect it? How does your thinking affect it? What thoughts are you thinking about when this defilement comes up? Are you looking for more fuel to add to the fire? Are you just complaining about it? Complaining about it doesn't do anything. Are you trying to figure it out? This is where the hope lies, is trying to figure this thing out. Where does this come from? Why am I giving into it? Why am I feeding it? What gratification do I get out of it? What are the drawbacks? Can I watch it come and go? Is it going to take 3 days to go, or does it come and go, come and go, come and go? There are different levels of subtlety in this coming and going. The more you get the mind to quiet down, the more you realize that whatever the disturbance, it's not 24/7. It may seem that way, But that's simply because you're connecting the narrative, connecting the dots. But these thoughts actually come in dots. You don't have to connect them in that way. So what we're doing is we're getting the mind to settle down and be still, is making this the best place to practice. Creating a little arena in the mind where you can actually deal with these things instead of constantly being enslaved by them. These mysterious dark forces in your mind that you don't really notice or don't really understand. You want to shine the light of day on them, and that means you really see your defilements a lot more clearly. The defilements you never thought you had, you suddenly notice, gosh, these are there in the mind. It's not that the practice is causing them, it's just bringing them out into the open. So it doesn't mean that being here or practicing right here, right now, is causing the defilements. Again, it's allowing you to see them. And that's important right there, because otherwise you may be vaguely aware of them, but it's like looking at things through glass blocks. You got these vague shapes, but you don't really know them clearly. What's on the other side of this wall of glass blocks? We're trying to create a window into the mind. And so the stillness of the mind both allows us to see these things clearly and to take a stance, gives us a position where we can take a stance and actually start dealing with them. There's that woman who came to see Lumbu Dun one time. Said she wasn't going to practice meditation in this lifetime. She was making the kind of merit that would guarantee that she would be reborn in the time of the next Buddha. The tradition is, and in his time, it's really going to be easy to practice. And as he told her, if you just dither around right now, you're going to develop the kind of habits where even in the time of the next Buddha, you're going to be dithering around. In other words, even though your awakening may not come right now, the habits you're developing right now are the habits you're going to take wherever it is that you're going to go. Those are the places where it's easier to practice. You get there and you find you've still got the same old habits you've been developing right here. And if you really take on the situation, take on your defilements right now, and find that you can practice in places where it's difficult, where things are not perfect, then makes it that much easier that when you find a better place, in terms of the people around you, the situation, you'll be prepared for it. It's not because you're sitting here thinking about it all the time that's going to make that a good place. It's the habits you develop right now that allow you to take advantage of that place wherever it is. So this is the best place to practice, right where the mind and body are meeting here at the breath. It's simply a matter of taking advantage of what you've got right here, right now. That's what makes all the difference.